Good day, and welcome to Good Heavens with Ryan Evans, your minimum monthly requirement for astrological observation and edification. Welcome to our new Gemini moon. Gemini, that season right before the culmination of all things in summer. But we're not there yet. Oh, we're so close. Oh, you can feel it, right? Oh, geez, we're just almost there. And then we hit summer solstice, and then the sun goes down. The days start to get shorter. We reach the culminating point of summer solstice, when the sun reaches its maximum northerly declination. It is the highest in the sky at noonday, and the most northerly sunrise. Ah, summer. But we're not quite there yet. There's still so many things to do. There's still more things to plan. There's still things to figure out. We still have to talk about things. We still have to communicate. We still have to try to figure out those little complexities. And if we can figure out those little complexities, well, then we can relax. But until then, let us observe what is really happening in this season. Now, the brand, the variety, the type, the methodology, the kind of astrology Ryan does is a little different than everyone else. Many people erroneously assume that there are magic beams coming from somewhere in the universe, somewhere outside of us. An external locus of power that is emanating towards us and filtering through a picture in the stars of a couple of individuals. Yeah, that's what it is. And this energy is somehow filtering through these stars, billions of light years away and apart, but they're filtering through these stars and then maybe even hitting a planet, in this case, the sun and the moon, hitting a planet and then making us, compelling us, causing us to want to think more or communicate more or ask questions or be curious. I mean, it would be kind of interesting if that's how it actually worked. I mean, we wouldn't have any responsibility. I mean, free will, I mean, that would just be an illusion, right? Because, you know, the planets compel us. The planets cause us to do or think or be or feel a certain way. Oh, I'm so sorry if that is something that you believe. I mean, it's a belief. I mean, what do I know? I mean, I'm about to talk about belief. I mean, who am I to say, you know, oh, I'm sorry that you believe that. Oh, that's a Sagittarian thing to say. And we're talking Gemini. You get to believe whatever you want to believe. That's so cool. That's amazing. Then, you know what we can do? We can have a conversation about it. So tell me, why do you think there is some magic beam coming from somewhere in the universe filtering through these star pictures, hitting a planet and compelling us to do something? Well, that's how I was raised. That's what I was taught. That's like a very common a perception of anyone who subscribes to any Abrahamic religion. External locus of control. Well, I understand that, says the Sagittarian. I mean, it's very possible. I mean, you know, for all I know, I mean, I don't have a device to detect these magic beams. I mean, sure, I can tune into the frequency of the orbit of Pluto, etc., but there's no way I can find any actual compelling energetic ray that makes me want to heal my stuff. I mean, that would be interesting, right? I mean, oh wow, I've detected a ray coming from the mystery that is telling me that it's a good time to talk about something. All right, let's schedule that for 2:52 today. I mean, that would be cool. Oh, wait, I got a notification on my phone. It looks like the magic beams are hitting the moon in an aspect to my Mars. I better take some action or else. If then, cause and effect. You be a good boy or girl and you'll get to heaven. And if you're not, then you'll go to hell. It just, I mean, it may be. Maybe, I mean, I'd love to see some pudding with some proof. I'd love to see some, you know, actual correlates or reflections in worlds or realms of existence outside of human projection. That would be cool. I mean, is there a correlate in nature for magic beams making things happen? I'm not seeing it. But you know what I am seeing? I'm seeing corn. I'm seeing sunflowers. And I'm looking outside the window right now, and they're watering the baskets on Main Street full of flowers. And those flowers are going to grow and be beautiful as long as they're watered and, you know, tended to. They're probably putting some super green juice fertilizer in there, you know, that the plants, you know, I mean, they're going to grow and stuff, but I mean, it's like, well, you know, it's a drug. But hey, it works. But they're going to grow, and then when autumn comes and old Jack Frost starts walking around with his tin whistle, yeah, those flowers are going to die. But the really cool thing is those flowers, I mean, if they're tended to well, they're going to be put in the compost. And then they'll be broken down into the soil that actually feeds next year's flowers. That's cool. Now, I don't know that I necessarily need some magic beam from somewhere in the external universe to talk to me about how things work here on the planet. Nature knows what it's doing. It's almost as if, nature has an intelligence, capital I. I know we humans, we're so arrogant, we think that we're the only ones with consciousness, but there are plenty of folks who say, no, consciousness is what the universe is. That's what's going on here. Consciousness evolving, learning about consciousness, understanding its separateness and polarity and irony and paradox. Trying to find its way back into oneness or wholeness. I mean, that makes sense to me. Corn makes sense to me. Sunflowers, that makes a lot of sense to me. Really quite simple. I think I'm gonna plant a seed. There's the beginning. And then we plant the seed. Oh, wow, now we're really getting going. Then that seed germinates? Holy buckets, is that magic? Now, that's magic. Okay. That's awesomeness. That I can see. That's real. That's provable. Repeatable. Yep, it's true. If I have some viable sunflower seeds, and I plant them in the soil and water them, those seeds are going to take up water. That water is going to trigger some cell division, and that's going to grow. Oh, my God, that's amazing. That's magic. In Ryan's book, that's that's divine. Wow, how beautiful. Because that sunflower seed, I mean, we thought, you know, that might have been, we might have picked that actually off of a dead sunflower. But contained in that dead sunflower that had fallen over and the seeds are on the ground, we pick up one of those seeds. You know what we've done? We've become a powerful co-creator in the universe. Oh yeah, we got some seeds. That's power. That's magic. Because what we choose to do with those seeds, oh man, free will combined with the power and the magic of co-creation. Oh my goodness, we humans are freaking amazing. Gosh, we could even, if we really wanted to and we had the creativity and love and weren't so stressed out or weren't distracted by a whole bunch of, you know, distractions, we could even anchor heaven on earth. We could make this earth a beautiful, beautiful garden. Oh my gosh, you know what it's called? Planting apple trees. Planting apricots. Planting corn. That is the most amazing, most beautiful, most powerful, most magical thing I could possibly imagine. And we've got that within us. And within us, and that power of planting a seed, you know, nature, it doesn't need us. In fact, nature can do just fine without us. But the wisdom, the intelligence of a plant reproducing, that was that's been around a lot longer than we humans have. So astrology? Actually, what we've done is we've taken these natural processes, we've taken this these natural cycles, we've taken this rhythm, we've taken this flow, we've taken this cycle and creatively seen how those cycles and those rhythms are reflected in us. Whoa! That's astrology. And then we said, oh my goodness, what's going on here? Because, you know, the woman is menstruating in cycle and harmony with this thing that's outside of us, with the moon. Whoa! Welcome to the birth of the matriarchal religions. Whoa, the moon and the woman and the connection and magic babies come out of them. Whoa! That's divine. Well, everything's divine. But whoa, hey, we humans, oh my gosh, we don't know how that works. We don't know where these babies come from. We don't understand those processes. So again, we called it divine. We projected all of this energy onto the moon. We called the moon the goddess. Welcome again to the birth of the matriarchal religions. And that was awesome for a time. Oh my gosh, you know, that was great. And then, you know, something happened. And this is edgy. Go ahead, you know, send me an email complaining about what I'm about to say. That's okay. We're having a conversation here. Well, I mean, we're not, but I'm pretending we're having a conversation here. This is a new Gemini moon. But the conversation, the curiosity, the question, the wondering, the thing that, you know, we can bounce back and forth like a ping pong ball. You know, what if? Just what if, you know, at the around, you know, toward the end of matriarchy, you know, what if we, you know, learned that, hey, wait a second, the babies come out of the mother not because of any magic, not because of any, you know, moonbeams hitting them, but what if we men had a role in that? Now, here's the edgy part. The edgy part is some people say, and I don't know, this is just an opinion, it's just what I heard, I'm just, you know, relaying some information. I mean, I don't know, I don't think I was there. I mean, maybe a part of me was there, but, you know, what if, You know, we men said, wait a second, we have a role in this? We do this? Wait a second, we're in charge. Wow, we can, it's all because of us. We are the ones that produce, that seed the child in the mother. Well, welcome to the birth of patriarchy. Welcome to the birth of the patriarchal religions. Welcome to the birth of the sun god, because at this time, we were like, oh my gosh, just coming out of the last ice age, oh geez, there's these seasons, and these seasons produce a rhythm and a pulse of the growth of the sunflower. Oh, okay, well now I can take control of my existence, I don't have to do this hunting and gathering thing anymore. Well, shoot, I can plant raspberries in rows, and I can fence in the sheep. I can control my life. I can dominate nature. Sound familiar? And here we are. So it's really interesting because, you know, oh, hey, you all got the moon. Well, we got the sun, and without the sun, there wouldn't be any solar system. So we're more powerful. So welcome to 10, maybe 12, 15,000 years of subjugation. Oh, man. Because you know what happened, or I don't know what happened. I mean, that's just a, you know, aphorism. We can imagine what happened was as soon as we planted stuff in rows, as soon as we fenced in the sheep, well, we had to defend those raspberries. We had to protect those sheep. Especially if someone from a neighboring tribe thought that they could come and take our sheep. Well, welcome to war. Thanks, patriarchy. Thanks, solar religions. These are my sheep. I fenced them in, and just because you don't have any doesn't mean you can come and take my stuff. Well, I'm used to just, you know, going out and, you know, killing the wild sheep and, you know, eating the wild raspberries, but here you got them in a plenty, you know, there's so much abundance, why can't I just have some? 'Cause they're mine. Now, you know, gunpowder wasn't invented, but you get the idea. The second we fenced in the sheep, again, we had to defend the sheep from the marauders. Welcome to war. Ah, geez, what are we to do? So now, after, you know, 12,000 years approximately, I mean, give or take, I mean, who really knows, of this adventure of planting our raspberries in rows and shooting anyone who tries to take them, we've come to this place where that just doesn't really work anymore. I mean, yeah, it's a good idea to plant a garden. I mean, nobody's arguing with that. In fact, if everyone planted a garden, guess what? Nobody would have to jump any fences to try to take anyone's raspberries. Why? Because we'd have so much abundance. It would be like, here, I've got so many raspberries. Want some eggs? Want some sheep? I mean, we got so much. Because my neighbor has some, and their neighbor has some, and their neighbor, and their neighbor, and their neighbor. I mean, we could live in a world of abundance where war is just not necessary. We're just lacking creativity. But this is a conversation, you see. In fact, if we really think about it, the principles of astrology, the history of astrology, is the history of religion. And it's actually the history of trying to understand how and why the universe works. And so all it takes is someone having a belief, I mean, I don't know these things actually happened. Again, this is what I heard. I'm just relaying information. But all it takes is someone to have a belief and say, this belief is the truth. But wait a second. This belief is the truth. A belief is not a truth. A belief is a belief. A truth is a truth. A truth is empirical. A truth is provable. Truth is repeatable. A belief, you know, we don't have to see the proof, right? And any religion that says, no, man, it's all about belief. You don't need to know the truth. Just trying to sell you something. They're just trying to sell you one of the sheep that they have behind their fence. So, this is a conversation, though. I mean, I'm just giving you my opinion. I don't really know. This is conjecture. You're just throwing some things out there. But what if? I mean, what if, you know, it's all been a lie? What if it's all been a control technique? Tactic, sorry. You know, these are good conversations to have because we're at a point in the evolution of human existence where I think we've had enough of the war. I think we've had enough of the my God can beat up your goddess. I think we've had enough of the your religions are not allowed here. Yeah, that's... nope. But we got to talk about these things, because if we don't talk about these things, they get suppressed, repressed, and denied, and then we are like, okay, there's so much intensity, I'd better stop everything and listen to WDRT 91.9 FM, Viroqua, Wisconsin. And if that doesn't work... Ah, I'm going to have to call my astrologer. What's my place in the universe? How are the seasons of the earth and the growth cycle of nature percolating up through me? Because I'm a human animal living on the earth. And my body, my cells, in one form or another, have existed since the beginning of the universe. And now I'm here, wherever here is, but I'm here. And in the here-ness of here, what works? The oak tree works. Corn works. The sunflower works. The growth cycle of nature works. That I can believe in. George Carlin is like, I'm going to put my faith in the sun. Why? Because it's going to rise every morning, and if it doesn't, I'm not going to be around to care about it. That's a paraphrase. I don't exactly remember the quote, but it's something like that. George. Thanks, buddy. And even that, you know, well, geez, what if you're a flat earther? Because then the sun and the moon are all contained in this globe or in this, you know, force field inside this, you know, the dome. Another amazing belief. I mean, you know, astrophysicists can, you know, I mean, at least what I've read. I mean, again, what do I know? But astrophysicists can say, no, we can calculate that moon is, you know, 200-something thousand miles away. And we can calculate that sun is 93 million miles away. We can use all of our devices, all of our technology, all of our physics, all of our observations of reality, of nature, and say, yeah, there's a good chance that we don't live in some dome. That being said, for all I know, it could all be some computer program. You know, in some other universe's kid's bedroom, you know, where he's doing a science fair project on alternative intelligence. We could just be a simulation. I mean, let me see here. No, that I'm feeling pain, but, you know, when I slap my face, but that pain, I mean, that's just electrical signals, you know? How do we know we're not a computer simulation? I mean, it can be crazy. So with all of these questions and all these wonderings, we can come now to the new Gemini moon and say, wow, you know, isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? You know, we used to think that babies were just magic, that they just appeared through divine, you know, blessings. And it is a divine blessing, but we didn't understand how that happened. And then after a while, yeah, it's about the man and the woman coming together with their gametes and, you know, putting them in, you know, and seeing things happen in the cauldron of creation and the divine feminine goddess womb. Thank you, Mother. Without you, there would be no existence. There would be no life. So we thank the great goddess. And we thank the great God. Because when they come together as one, life is created. Wow, let's just stop and think about that. Divine masculine and divine feminine coming together, equal parts, creating something more than the sum of their parts. That's magic. That's beauty. Oh my gosh, that's divine sacred relationship. So I'll shake my astrological finger out there, kids. And remember, anytime divine masculine and divine feminine come together, and that does not mean gender, but divine masculine and divine feminine come together, wow, we've got the cauldron of creation. Woo, boy, there's no telling what could happen. That's magic. And so, wow, we humans, we are powerful, conscious co-creators in this universe. So why the heck are we creating war? Why the heck are we creating more asphalt? Why the heck are we polluting? These things are so crazy. It'd be very easy for me to say, well, that's because humans are insane. There's another conversation. I mean, Ryan, you know, here he can be, you know, a little nutty sometimes too. Insane? No, he's full of love. He just has some alternative perspectives on existence. So let's talk about it. What are your opinions on existence? Why do you think there's war? Why do you think there are mean people? Where do you think babies come from? I mean, if everything began with Aries, I mean, the stork would drop off the child. But in Capricorn, when divine masculine and feminine come together in that cauldron of creation and mystery, capital M, drops into form, Capricorn, boom, we've got the beginning of existence in this three-dimensional world, Capricorn. And in that deepest place, wow, there's the cauldron of creation inside the womb of the mother. Yes, Capricorn is a yin feminine sign. Wait a second, Ryan. I thought you said I thought Capricorn was all about the father. I thought Capricorn was the old man. I thought Capricorn was capitalism and the structures of society, and that's all masculine. Oh my gosh, you obviously don't know astrology. Because astrology, ask any astrologer, yep, Capricorn, yin, receptive, feminine. For some of you, that might be a shocker. Well, hey, we're a Gemini new moon. That's about new information. Uranus just entered Gemini. That's about brand new shocking information. What do you mean to tell me that all religions are a control tactic? Hey, I'm just offering, you know, I don't know. Maybe, who knows? There could be magic beams. I mean, sidereal astrology works. Sidereal astrology, where we consider, you know, magic beams coming from those stars. Okay. So, I don't know. Hey, because why? Because it works. I know many Vedic or sidereal astrologers, and guess what? It works. Why does it work? Well, because we're projectors. We project meaning onto things. We're poets. We're storytellers. And when we call something a thing, it eventually actually becomes the thing that we call it. That's quantum physics. And so astrology exists on the quantum level. Astrology is reflective, not causal. And so if those planets out there, like the moon is a reflector of sunlight. The moon doesn't give off any light by itself. It gives off reflected light. So if we consider planets to be reflectors and we're projecting energy, intention, definition onto these planets, well, all they're going to do is reflect it back to us. Oh, Mars, look at it. It's red. And red is blood and fire, and blood and fire come from war. There's the god of war. Why? Because it's red. Projection, reflection. That's how astrology works. We live in this fractal universe. We live in this holographic universe. And as conscious, imaginative co-creators in this universe, ooh, we are so powerful, we can make Mars mean Mars by us wanting to make Mars mean Mars. If we projected onto Mars red, oh, that's the color of butterflies. And red is found in rainbows. And red is the color of peace. If we started it believing that, after, I don't know, 1, 10, 20, 100, 1,000 years, guess what? It's going to be that. I'm sitting in a chair. I'm not sitting on a table. How do I know? Because we call it a chair. And you know what I mean when I say I'm sitting in a chair. I could even say I'm sitting, and you might make an assumption or projection that I am sitting on a chair. Wow. This is a lot of information, and welcome to our new Gemini moon, where it's imperative that we have these conversations. I don't know. I wasn't there 12,000 years ago in my conscious memory. I can't necessarily access that. Asterisk. Yes, I can. Story for another time. But wow, it's a great conversation. It's something that we need to talk about. It's something that we need to be curious about. Because if we just accept other people's truths as fact, then what we're basically doing is we're accepting their opinions, projections, assumptions, predilections, desires, rather than anything that we could consider to be fact. So again, what is true? Wow. The only thing in this universe that is true is the growth cycle of nature. Nature knows what's up. Nature contains the wisdom of gravity and electromagnetism. Nature contains all of the mystery of yonder star, a black hole that exists in nature. That's right. This plastic chair I'm sitting on is natural. Oh, there's a conversation. That's not natural. That was made by humans. Well, wait a second. Does it exist in nature? Yeah, plastic, natural. Ooh, here's an edgy one. Roundup? Paraquat? Natural. That's not natural. That was made by humans. Those are synthesized petrochemicals, and they're life killers. Yes. But those petrochemicals, guess what? They exist where? In nature. Where'd you get it? Out of the ground, out of the earth. Nature. Anything that exists in form, that includes fire, water, air, earth, ether, spirit, if we can qualify it or quantify it, imagination. Did you give it a name? Well, yeah, it's imagination. Well, there it is. It exists in nature. I love being able to say some edgy things that are like month-long conversations. I love being able to say that in just like 17 seconds on the radio here and imagine that we're having a conversation. But it is true, we're not having a conversation. But I'd like to have this be a conversation. Because ultimately, what do we know? Nothing but nature. Nature's true. And so that's what we listen to. The wisdom of the sunflower. Pretty cool, huh? What do you think? I mean, I wish I could... someone suggested to me the other day, well, Ryan, why don't you have a call-in show? Now, there's lots of logistics, and, you know, I need a screener, and it's not like I'm getting paid for this, etc. You know, it's a... not necessarily as easy as, oh, yes, I think I'll have a call-in show. But this would be a wonderful opportunity for that. Yes, Mr. Evans, you were saying that prior to our understanding of how babies are made, we thought that was divine. Why, yes, I did say that. Well, how do you know you're right? Well, I don't know I'm right. That's why this is called opinion, or the repeating of information that was heard from a logical source. So are you saying that's fact? Absolutely not. I have no idea. The only thing I know is that if I plant a sunflower seed, chances are I'm going to get a sunflower, especially if I take care of it. That's the only thing I know. Oh, wait, I know another thing. It'd be a good idea to breathe. Ah, yeah, that's some good stuff right there. Air. Morning air. Henry David Thoreau said, why, if I could bottle it up and sell it at market, but it wouldn't last quite till noonday. Kind of funny. Someone in Oregon was just pinged for actually doing that. selling jars at a farmer's market of fresh morning Oregon air. It's true. Look it up. Gemini, do your research. Ask the questions. Check it out. Pretty cool, huh? I mean, these are conversations to have. There are thousands of conversations that we are needing to have that have not necessarily been had. Why? Because the way the power structure is in this world is that if you have those conversations, you're going to be put on a list. Guess what? Everything I'm saying today is being filtered through a database looking for keywords, and Ryan's going to be put on a list. Well, he's already on the list, but he's someone who has love in his heart. He's someone who is advocating for the rights of nature. He's someone who's questioning the power structure, the religious structure, the political structure, the societal structure. Oh my goodness gracious. He's curious about making healthy changes in society and in the on the planet. And in each individual? Oh my goodness gracious. Crazy, huh? But these are conversations to have. And so the suggestion is, if you want those conversations, if you want some information, if you want to know more, then what we all need to do is listen to 91.9 FM WDRT.org Viroqua. It's as simple as that. Because contained in community radio is the potential and possibility for voices like mine and others, hopefully with completely different views, to have a safe space to express themselves. Now, I can sit here and say all of these outlandish things with an asterisk that says, like I really know. I don't know. But we're having the conversation, right? I'm having this conversation with myself, but we're exploring these things. You got to be curious about these things. And even in the Christian Bible, it says you must be like a child to enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, I don't really know about the kingdom of heaven. I mean, that would be cool. I mean, I sure have heard stories about it. I know my grandma was really upset when I suggested the possibility of her coming back when she was on her deathbed. No, I'm going to heaven to see grandpa. All right, yep, that's exactly what's going on. That's what you're doing. You know, because when I suggested reincarnation, she got a little upset. But grandma energy's never created nor destroyed. That's why I'm going up to heaven to see your grandfather. Okay. Do I know? No, of course I don't know. Wouldn't that be awesome, though? That would be so sweet. Oh my gosh. Hey, there's some pearly gates, and on the other side, there's my grandma and grandpa, and they're cooking a delicious roast beef dinner for me? Wow, that sounds awesome. I would love for that to be true. But, you know, let's translate that or bring it down to earth or consider, you know, a more, I don't want to necessarily say realistic, but more observable way to say that is, you must be like a child to be happy. That I can, you know, wrap my hand around, hold it, and call it true. Yeah, so what's a child? Now we go back. we got to get younger and younger here, you know, because of screens. But we go back younger and younger, and we find the unadulterated child, the one who hasn't been saturated with expectations and projections and societal, you know, assumptions, etc., blah, 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 blah. And what's that kid doing? know, a newborn, not, well, not newborn. Well, yeah, I suppose a newborn, but, you know, 6, 8 months old, what are they doing? They're looking around, everything's new, taking up that pen that's sitting there and putting it in its mouth and realizing that it is not yummy food. Wow, that's amazing. What is it? I don't know. I heard mom and dad call it a pen. Maybe pens are food that goes in my... Nope. Oh, look at this. It's my puppy dog. I've never heard the word puppy dog before, but hey, come here, Fido. Let me try to put your nose in my... Nope. We don't eat Fido. But that kind of curiosity, I mean, we can call it naivete, but wow, wonder, well, what is that? It's a sunset. And for those who like to view sunsets, no two are alike. Wow, that's so amazing. Wow, it's so amazing. What if all religion is a sham? Oh, what if, you know, voting is a sham? Oh, wow. Wouldn't that be interesting? I don't know. I mean, let's have a conversation about it. Tell me about it. Wow, can you plant it? Will it grow up and will it flower? Will it recede and go back to the soil? Wow. That's amazing. That's so cool how it does that. How does it know how to do that? How does a sunflower know? Oh, it's just nature. Which brings us back to who's really in charge? Nature. Well, who really created nature? That's a good question. God, goddess, creator, magic, mystery, a science fair project in a different universe. Ultimately, we can't know. That's why in the Anishinaabe culture, the word for God is Gichimanidu. And Gichimanidu has been often mistranslated as great spirit. But see, spirit is a thing. You can qualify or quantify that. I can draw you a picture of what I think great spirit is, but draw me a picture of mystery, because that's the literal translation. Great mystery. How can our puny human minds ever really understand the entirety of the universe, let alone where it came from, how and why, etc., etc., etc.? But when we're curious, right, then we're not going to have mud splashed on our screen that already says, well, you know, heaven doesn't exist. Oh, all religions are a sham. And then we try to have that conversation. Well, we're not going to be open to the possibility of, well, what if they're not? What if there is a heaven? What if there is a hell? You'll only get to heaven if you believe in it, and if you don't, you're going to hell. Well, oh, geez, oh, gosh, well, yeah, I believe in it. No, you don't. Going to hell. Oh, man, damn it. You know? Oh, I guess me. So, the curiosity, though. Wow, that's wonderful. Oh, my gosh, that's amazing. So, this curiosity must lead us. The questions must lead us. The openness must lead us. And through the openness, through the question, through the curiosity, we can begin to unravel these mysteries of the universe. We can, you know, maybe my neighbor has some ideas and some perspective that I don't have. Oh, give thanks. We can have a conversation about that. What if my meaning and purpose of the whys and the wherefores that I do everything. You know, I've been operating in this way for, you know, 53 years, and what if I'm wrong? Wouldn't that be awesome and amazing to, you know, have a conversation about it? Well, what do you think? Well, what do you think? Well, what do you need? Well, what do you need? Well, what works for you? What works for you? Oh my gosh, there's so much variety. And that curiosity, that openness, that conversation, you must be like a child to enter the kingdom of heaven. You must be curious and open and full of wonder and not being judgmental and not think that our opinions or even our experience is absolute truth. Wow! We must have that curiosity in order to be happy. So for this next month, from this new moon on June 14th at 9:52 p.m. in beautiful Viroqua, Wisconsin, from that moment until the next new moon, it is our duty, if we want to, you know, align with the rhythms and the flow of nature, which we don't have to, you know, because we're conscious co-creators, you know, we can choose to not align with nature. We've done it for 12,000 years, but and you know, benefits and liabilities to that one. But if we really want to align with the forces of nature and set intention for new moons and say, all right, in this lunar cycle, lunar life, because without the moon, there wouldn't be life. So in our life over this next month, to be open, to be curious, to have conversations, to question ourselves and say, you know, is this something that is really applicable to me? Is this something that works for me? Should I plant raspberries in rows? Should I fence my sheep in? What would happen if I do? What would happen if I don't? What works for you? Oh my gosh, and I can think of another 100 million questions because it's that curiosity that stimulates our synaptic firing. And all of that electrical activity in our body keeps us energized, and that energy helps to keep us young. So how do we get younger the older we get? Well, if you are an Aries, and this is very general, you know, early Aries is going to be one thing, later Aries is going to be another thing. So I don't have your chart in front of me, so all I can do is divide, you know, 8 billion people by 12. So there's lots and lots of room for error in everything I'm going to say. Take it with a grain of salt. Ask some questions. Be curious. Why? Because that's what's up, yo. So if you are an Aries, have those conversations. Listen. In fact, we have 2 ears, 1 mouth, they say. So listen twice as much as we talk. Awesome. Beautiful. Perfect. If we are a Taurus, then it's important that we listen. That we listen to ourselves, we listen to the things that work, we listen to the nature, we listen to those things that are methodical, we listen to the growth of the sunflower. If we are Gemini or Gemini rising, then our job is to listen to all of the different parts within us. Well, what does my mind say? Well, what does my heart say? Well, what do my actions say? Actions speak louder than words. Very important. Very, very important. For Cancer and Cancer rising, this is a magnificent month to get our information from imagination. get our information from whatever we consider, quote unquote, spirit to be, or our higher self. Very, absolutely, mega, incredibly important. If we are Leo or Leo rising, this is a magnificent and beautiful, beautiful month for us to listen to our friends, listen to our community, go out into the community, have those conversations with community. Now, I, as a Cancer rising, with this new moon falling into my 12th house, 12th house behind the scenes, here I am behind the mic. Oh, there it is. I'm doing it. Awesome. But if you're Virgo or Virgo rising, then maybe it's good to have some conversations with those powers that be, or with our boss, or in our work, or with anything in the external that is about our engagement with the world. Maybe it would be a good idea to go out into the public and just do the random, hi there, I'm doing a YouTube meme or a little short about the nature of the universe. What do you have to say? That would be so awesome. You're Virgo, Virgo rising, please, please go do that. Libra. Libra rising. This is going to be a very interesting month for you. I would highly recommend you get out of your comfort zone. I know, Libra, Libra rising, like the comfort, like the ease, like the peace. But, you know, this might be a month where I'd encourage you to challenge yourself and explore other perceptions, other opinions, others who might have some different opinions. Awesome. Scorpio, Scorpio rising. This is great because this new moon falls into your solar eighth house, which means the information that's coming is, yep, true to Scorpio, hardcore and intense. So ask the really deep, penetrating questions. Sagittarius or Sagittarius rising. This is a magnificent, beautiful month for you to ask your friends, ask your the people who are really close to you, ask your, you know, lovers, say, hey, what do you think? What do you need? What do you feel the nature of reality is all about? Awesome. Beautiful. Capricorn, Capricorn rising. I would very highly suggest that this month is absolutely perfect for you to listen to your body, okay, and bring that information into daily life. Aquarius and Aquarius rising. Just, you know what? Go have fun. Go play. This is a time to just not think so much and just go release some energy. You've got Pluto transiting through your sign and things are intense. So I'm just going to say you guys get to go have fun this month. Pisces, Pisces rising. Put your hands on your heart and say, speak up, heart. But the bottom line for all of us with this new moon is to set an intention to open up to those things that we do not know. To be curious, to be playful, to engage in some potentially really charged discussions, which I hope I presented today, with, you know, again, that curiosity. Huh, I wonder if. Let's talk about it. Having that conversations increase the connection. Having that connection reminds us of the heart that we all share. And when we understand that we all share that same heart and we're all in this together, then we're all friends. Then we can help each other out. We help each other out and all will be well. This has been a production of WDRT 91.9 FM Viroqua, WDRT.org Studios. Thanks to Terry O'Connor for producing this program. For more information, please visit www.RyanEvansAstrology.com. Thank you, and be well.